this morning to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, as we'll take some time in that passage today. I do want to remind you, today is Communion Sunday, so if you did not grab an element, we invite you, give you permission to get up and go get one if you'd like. We'll be celebrating together at the end of the service that way. If you didn't miss it, I'm going to give you a hint. Yesterday was Christmas. We celebrated the birth of Jesus the Christ, the Savior of all creation, this little child that would grow up in wisdom and truth and represent so much more than any of us could ever expect, because he is truly God with us, Emmanuel. And here we are a few days out, we're heading into a new year, full of expectation, full of hope, but it's also a time where we tend to look back, so I thought we'll just review every sermon I've preached over the last year, and we'll be here till New Year, because all of us want that, right? Sure. Thank you for that, because none of us want that. But this last year, we spent some time looking at the man that is described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. We looked at David in his story that involves so many different things. It amassed a lot of blessing, unity in the country. There were politics going on. There's murder, treachery, everything else. It was the soap opera that we didn't know Scripture needed, because it didn't need that, but it happened. We spent time toward the end of the year looking at why this understanding of the church, that God has called us and put us together in his name, is a big deal. That we carry the mission of Christ, continued into the time when Christ will come back. And we especially this year spent many weeks going through the letter to the Colossians, where Paul constantly called back to chapter 1 throughout that letter, where he focused on the idea and this calling and challenge that we, as the church, corporately as well as individually, are to live according to a life that is worthy of the Lord, that we would please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, that we would grow in the knowledge of God and be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. It's quite a challenge. It's one that kind of looms before us, that Paul would give the church that. That Paul would say, here's what you're to do. You're supposed to live it up in God's preferences. You know, that God sacrificed and did all these things. And so your task, your calling, is to live to that, not to the world. So, but Paul points out very quickly, after giving that in all reality, that the only way for us to do that is to look to Christ. The only way for us to do that is to look to the one who is the perfect example of that fulfillment. But the issue, if you haven't been around or haven't noticed, is that we often take our eyes off Christ. We tend to drift when we do so in various ways, and so as we look toward this upcoming year, I want us to remember that we all continue to have the same calling that Paul gave to the church in Colossae. That we are to remember to live a life worthy of the Lord who calls us. But at the same time, the writer of Hebrews would also remind us that we are not alone in that journey. That not only do we have our brothers and sisters in Christ that are here, but those that have gone before us that were faithful to the calling themselves, faithful to God in ways and believed in faith were also watching us. It's this idea of the marathon. The Colosseum's full. You got the cheering crowd as they come in and as they're racing. And so this morning, as we listen and we hear those chants of "You can do it, keep going, keep running," in the background of those that have gone before us, I want to just encourage you with a few things from Hebrews chapter 12. First is that God has a plan for you. Verse 1 it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We are all created with a purpose. I want you to understand that we are created with a purpose. It's not to go and have babies. It's not to accumulate things. It's not to win championships in whatever sport you play. It's not to write the next great concerto or any of those things either, or to make the biggest and best painting that people would just look to and rave about. Our calling is to live in faith that reflects a relationship with a loving Father. The book of Hebrews compares our life's purpose to a race and calls us to be encouraged by those who have gone before. We're to give our best. Nobody here today has finished that race. You may feel like it. You may have some jiggly legs at times, but you have not finished the race. None of us have arrived. So our job is to run, to continue running. And as you do, you'll realize that there are things you should and shouldn't do if you actually want to finish the race. Now, sin was never a part of God's plan. Man took that upon himself. We broke that relationship. God never intended for his creation to be bound up in these distractions, but they get our attention and they take our focus off Christ and what we're supposed to be doing, and we put them on ourselves. And I understand that sin will always be a burden as long as we focus on it. As long as we kind of do what we want to do in the way we want to do it, it will always be something that traps us and binds us and trips us. And so if you're going to keep doing your best, you have to focus and understand the plan. But secondly, that God has an example for you. It says in verse 2 through 4, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." Now, if you haven't noticed, I am not a runner. There are people in here that are runners. I am not one of them. You will know I am a runner only if you see a bear behind me. Okay? I have tried to run in the past, or at least jog-ish. It was a thing. That I also can admit, though, that I did have good days that I felt pretty good at the end of that run. I felt like I'd accomplished something. But there were a lot of days that were in my head, I was listening and I'm saying, "Why am I doing this?" Especially on a stupid treadmill. And I have to admit, when I'm running, it's easy to focus only on myself and the dread that I'm feeling while I'm running. It's easy to get my eyes off the example. So when we focus only on ourselves, we grow tired of running, and we can often feel like we can't do it, that we're not going to finish, that it'd be just easier, God, if you would just let me do it my way like everybody else. Let me just run with the crowd instead. But that's why we have to fix our eyes on Christ, who came to earth, who lived as a perfect example, and he died on the cross for our sins. When I did run, it used to be this was my thing. I'd look about 15 yards ahead of me and say, if I can make it to that point. And then when I got there, if I wasn't dead and on the ground, the next goal was the next 15, 20 yards. And that's how I got through my adventure of running. And it became easier the longer I did it, I will admit. But we have a perfect example. Our job is to get our eyes off of ourselves and focus on who he is and what he did for us. Because then we begin to live in response to that, much like Paul wrote in Colossians, that you keep looking forward to Christ who set the example for us, who continues to give us hope. We hear the crowd behind us and the crowd of witnesses cheering us on that you can make it. If we could do it, you can do it. That you've been given everything you need, everything that is needed to finish the race. You have it within you because God has gifted that to you. And so we find hope. Because without keeping our eyes on Christ, the example, all we will find is drudgery, not the joy that God intends. And then the third thing this morning is that God has an encouragement for you. It says in verse 5 through 7, and have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? Now, God knows we don't understand it all. There are a lot of us at various points in life that we're asking, why, God, why? Why is it this way? Why is it that way? Why did they do that? Why did, 2020 happen? Why did this? And we can have a lot of different things, and we may not ever get the answers that we want, and certainly we will not always understand the answers that we do get. However, God wants us to be encouraged. And he wants us to understand that even if we're experiencing difficult things, understand the biggest idea within all of this is that God loves you, for you are his child. God's discipline in our lives is not in the context within this about punishment, but can be understood more as a desire to help steer us away from the things that will ultimately hurt us. That it's gentle correction, that good parents discipline their kids not because they want to punish, but because they love that child enough to care. They're training them and teaching the children because they want the best, that God is the same way. Never forget that God loves you, believes in you, and wants the best for you. But also that God has a harvest for you. Verses 10 through 11, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In the end, when we get to the end, and we hope to receive a well done, thy good and faithful servant, it will be more like Christ. That's the goal. Because of God's discipline, that we would look and act and represent him. That God is in the process of using discipline to chisel away everything that doesn't look like Christ in our life. So never forget that ultimately our purpose is to bring glory to God and show the world what God looks like. And if you feel that God is disciplining you, remember that God has great plans for you. And we have to learn to celebrate God's discipline as well as his blessings. Watch this with me, please.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you know.
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father discipline his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
God's masterpiece. You are God's poem. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The actual word in that passage for work that we translate as workmanship is the Greek word for is poema, which is really where we get the word poem. The creator of the universe that called all things good, when he looks at mankind, he says it is very good. That he created you like a poet sits down and composes the thoughts of a great piece of art. You are special. That as you head into this new year, with all the unknown that it holds, every morning when you look in the mirror, remember that God doesn't make junk, that you are his original masterpiece. Keep your eyes on Christ, for he is the perfect example. He continues to show us the way and guide us on the path. A path that for him led to sacrifice. And I invite you to take your communion elements with me this morning. That Jesus had lived, walked, laughed, cried, shared, healed, and done all those things. And what it ended up leading to was what he knew would be. That night of the Passover, he took his disciples in that upper room. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, tonight, this morning, we come before you. With all that is going on, Lord, we come before you. And we are reminded that you created us, that you love us, that you desire relationship with us, that you did for us what we could not do for ourselves, that you sacrificed your life for us and were raised on the third day. And we have hope, and we live into the hope and faith of knowing that you are coming back to take us to yourself. And so, Lord, may we come before you today in true humility and faith as we partake of this holy sacrament through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. And before we go today back into our homes and the community in which we are blessed to live, I want to first of all say thank you to Steve and Roger and those that helped this morning with the breakfast and the pancakes. Thank you so much. Very appreciative. But just a reminder for the teens that we do have the Nerf New Year's Eve this week. And I apologize for the sound issues. Don't know what happened there. That's just technology sometimes. But just hope, and we are working on getting some information to upgrading all of this. So we'll have that hopefully in the next coming month or two. So go and be a blessing into the world, for you are God's masterpiece. Dismissed.